001 Andrew, Seek God First, Then His Kingdom. 1st of January 2012.
Nothing shall separate us from the love of God.
Amen.
Amen. Fear won't do it.
No.
That which I fear most, Job said, has come upon me. But you know, it didn't separate him from God. And we've listened in 2011 to all the fear-mongerings that have gone on. And in 2012, it will continue by the media to bring an insecurity into the minds and hearts of the nations and the peoples. So things aren't going to change much on that side. But you can change your own atmosphere. You can change your own thinking. You can change how you feel and what you see, because you are in charge. Because you have the Word of God. That verse that I was given said, I am convinced. The devil wants to bring doubt into our lives.
Yeah.
2012 will bring some changes.
Yeah.
Bring some changes in the world. But 2012 will bring some changes here. We have to look to the future.
Yeah.
We have to look and see what we do next, where we go next. And so there are changes on the way.
Yeah.
There are changes in my ministry. There are changes in things that I am going to be doing.
Yeah.
And one has to begin to prepare for these changes.
Yeah.
I've prepared a leaflet here for the provisional plan for Romania in 2012. There's all the relevant information that I could think of at the moment. So if you want to avail yourselves of one of those. And one is for one to pray. The other one is two. If you want to look towards coming on the trip, then that's okay. We need to make plans and you need to prepare financially, physically, emotionally and spiritually to be able to do that trip. So the information's there. I'm not going to repeat it. You can look at it and then you can talk to me later as we look at things in the future. Matthew.
When you were saying about we change the atmosphere and it's up to us, it's interesting that you started with that, because the year is 2012, and 12 is divine government.
All right. If you're going to steal my message, then that's fine. That's okay.
I don't know. There's always one.
Glory to Jesus. You and God make two. Hallelujah. Yeah? And that's the majority. And as Grace said, the 12 is symbolic in the Bible of divine government.
Yes.
And we need to ensure that in our own lives that we allow God's divine government to take place.
Yeah.
He had 12 elders, 12 disciples.
Yeah.
Divine government. When you read in Revelation, there are 24 elders around the throne. That's 2 twelves.
Yeah.
It's divine, spiritual government.
Yeah.
Glory to God. And God is in. God is. He is in control.
He is. Praise God.
Some days it may not seem like that.
Yeah.
And some days you've got to realize that when you are having a difficult time, God actually may be stirring your nest. As you grow up, your mum's not going to try and keep you in little dresses, is she? Look silly and things, wouldn't you? She gets clothes that fit you and that make you look prettier, don't she? Not that you don't look pretty, but they make you look prettier. Yeah, that wouldn't. I mean, yeah, you'd look silly in that when you were 20 years old, wouldn't you? Won't fit, would it? Dear me. So God is always, God will stir the nest and begin to prepare you for the next step, the next direction that you and I need to take in Him. And so it is important to realize that at the beginning of this year, God may be stirring the nest. He may be unsettling you a little bit. That's not saying that He's unsettling you to leave, but He's unsettling you to change the direction of ministry. Some of you might say, well, I don't know what my ministry is. Well, maybe God's unsettling you right now so that He can show you what your ministry is. You see, each and every one of us should have some form of ministry in the kingdom of God. Some of you will have had prophetic words given to you, words of prophecies for God that is speaking into your life, and they have not yet been fulfilled. You and I, when God gives us a word, actually have to participate with that word. We have to work with that word so that to bring that word to a fruition, to its fulfillment. Years ago, God called me onto the mission fields. Never went as a missionary. Never went out on that full-time ministry. But I've always had a heart, so what did I do? I worked as missionary secretary in a church for many years, collected all, got as much money as I could to give to missions work, used to promote missions work as much as I could, and the missionaries, and invite them to the churches they were travelling through. So there was always some activity going on. So I was always involved in some form of mission work.
Yeah.
And just in these last 3 or 4 years, we've begun to actually go out into different countries and begin to do some short-term missions work, Romania being one of the first places. And that's what gives me a joy. I get excited about going. I get even more excited about going back and seeing the results of the previous seed planting journey. I get excited about seeing that where we've sown the seeds in the fields of those lives of different people, that there has been a harvest. That there is something that has happened to their life.
Yeah.
But it starts with a going out.
Yeah.
It starts with a saying, yes, Lord, I will do this.
Yeah.
It starts with, yes, Lord, I'm planning this. Will you two stop crossing over? I'm getting dizzy. And so we have to prepare. Prepare ourselves, get ourselves ready. And you can start to prepare for May. And 2012 we're in right now, the beginning of a new year, the beginning of a new adventure for each and every one of us. Because if things change for me, then things will change for you. What happens if I'm not here for a month? What are you going to do? It means there's a gap somewhere. A space. Do we just leave the gap? Do we just leave a gap? Well, you said, yeah. I have this trouble all the time, you know. It's like talking to yourself all the time. I have to answer questions myself, you know, at our house. Because she's gone to sleep. It's true, Edwin. I do, I have to do. I have to do. It's the only decent answer I get these days. I know. Yes, hallelujah. Turn to Matthew chapter 24. Matthew chapter 24 and verse 5. And these are the words of Jesus. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am the Christ, and shall deceive many. And ye shall hear of wars and rumours of wars. See that ye be not troubled. For all these things must come to pass. But the end is not yet. Praise the Lord. For nations shall rise against nations, and kingdoms against kingdoms. And there shall be famines and pestilence and earthquake in divers places. And all these are the beginnings of sorrows. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, and you shall be... shall kill you, and you shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. And then many shall be offended and shall betray one another and shall hate one another. And many false prophets shall arise and shall deceive many. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. That's the verse that I really want to concentrate on. But whilst I was reading this, Jesus is speaking to his disciples. He's not speaking to the Jewish nation, as many people have portrayed this, that Jesus is speaking to the Jewish nations. He's speaking to his disciples. He's speaking to the followers of himself. This is his declaration for those who were followers of Jesus Christ. Will be hated. They were killed, they were thrown to the lions. They're still being put in prison and they're still being killed now, even today, in different countries throughout the world. And there have been many false prophets. And so these things are going on. But verse 12 says, "And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold." He's talking about his church. He's talking about people who declare, "I am a disciple of Jesus." He's saying, "Your love will grow cold. Your love will grow cold." I mean, he's not talking to the Jewish nation, because the Jewish nation is still looking for the Messiah. But he's talking to the church. And saying, "Your love will grow cold." Why does it grow cold? He says, "Because iniquity shall abound." Where's the iniquity? In the church. It filters into the church. And iniquity will cause you to grow, will cause me to grow cold towards the Lord Jesus Christ. The Amplified says this, "And the love of the great body of people will grow cold because of the multiplied lawlessness and iniquity." He's even declaring that there's lawlessness in his own church. There are people who go to church who are rebellious against leadership. They're rebellious against the things that God is saying to them. And they're deciding to be rebellious. And it brings iniquity. It brings lawlessness. And it causes love to be destroyed. And the love begins to become weak. And when your love becomes weak, your strength becomes weak. You know, that those verses that were brought out by Ken. There's one thing that we need to remember, this is that, and Grace talked about fear earlier, but one of the things that we need to remember is that God said, and Dharma spoke and said about, he wanted God to be this box and this box and this. Well, when Moses met God for the first time, and God gave him his commission to go and do what he had to go and do to bring the people of Israel out of Egypt, Moses said to God, "Who shall I say has sent me?" And God said to him, "Tell them, I am, have sent you. I am your provider. I am your healer. I am your deliverer. I am your support. I am your love. I am your lover. I am your father. I am your blessings." What is God to you? Everything that we have need of this day is in the I am. Is in the I am. So whatever we need in 2012, God is the I am of that. He says it is available. But for each and every one of us to receive what is available, we have to have a relationship. We have to be able to communicate with them. Talk the same language. I take you to Romania and you start listening to the people speaking to you in Romanian, you will not know what they're saying to you, will you? You'll be looking at me, or you'd look at your mummy and be thinking, what are they saying? No point in asking mum. She won't have a clue. Will she? She doesn't speak Romanian. And if you ask me, forget it, I haven't got a clue. And I've been 3 times, but it's still so difficult. Might ask you if you want a cup of chai. We know what that is. It's a cup of tea, but hey. Da is good. But there's not too many words that I understand. But the one thing that I do understand is that God is my provider and has to be my provider in 2012. And as things change in 2012, God provides even in those changes. 2011, God provided for you and Roy. When everything seemed against you. When the meetings were going in the opposite, when they were pushing you in the opposite direction that you wanted to go. And then you called upon the Lord. And that very afternoon he heard your call. And in the next meeting in that same day, everything had gone and turned around and was going in the other direction, the direction that you had asked for. God will provide. You might say, well, that was a bit close. But it was on time. The timing was right. God is my provider. God has got to be your provider. And so whatever is going on in the world today and tomorrow, whatever is being planned by these financial institutions, God is still in control. People are losing money. People are panicking. Remember, God brought the children of Israel through the wilderness 40 years. Over 2 million people without a social security. Without a charity. Without a food store giving out food coupons and giving food away. He says their clothes never wore out. He says they never lacked for water. And they never lacked for food. God always provided. Turn to 2 Timothy chapter 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 1. But understand this, that in the last days will come perilous times of great stress and trouble, hard to deal with, hard to bear. For people will be lovers of self and utterly self-centered, lovers of money and aroused by inordinate greed, desire for wealth, proud and arrogant, contemptuous boasters. They will be abusive, blasphemous, scoffings, disobedient to parents, ungrateful, unholy, and profane. Does this ring any bells? Have you seen any of this that's happening around the world at all in this last year? Have you seen any of this? Have you heard any of this? The answer is yes, isn't it? This was written 2,000 years ago. It's a prophetic word. Lovers of themselves, just constantly seeking their own ends. And yet the kingdom of God is, what can I give to you? How can I meet your need? What can I do to bless you? That is the Spirit of God.
Amen.
That is the love of God when he sent his only Son, Jesus. When he'd already made plans before the foundations of the earth, he planned to send Jesus. He's saying already, what can I do for you? I am going to bless you. I am going to rescue you. Wow. Some folk don't even realize they need rescuing.
Yeah.
They've been so indoctrinated by the things of the world. Even ministers in churches. They're lining their own pockets from the congregations. Makes me sick. There they are, they're begging for the money. So they can keep their flash cars, and if they want a flash car, well, pay for it yourself.
Yeah.
Don't soak the congregation. I have a nice car. I have a nice motorcycle. All right. And I've worked hard to pay for those. But I've never soaked a congregation. I've never begged the congregation to meet my needs. My God shall supply all my needs according to His riches in glory through Christ Jesus. I thank God for the blessings that He sent my way. I thank God for the finances that He sent my way. But I thank God also for the ability that He's placed within me to be able to give. To give. The ability that He's placed within me to plant seeds financially, spiritually, physically, emotionally into people's lives. I thank God that He's given me that ability, that desire, that willingness. You see, there are people who can be rich but have no willingness to give to the kingdom of God. They live in a poverty mind situation. They're a millionaire but they think they're poor. And yet you find a widow who comes with just a small amount of money. She gives that widow's mite. She gives everything for the kingdom of God. And yet she's more blessed. She'll receive a greater reward in heaven. She's planning for a future.
Amen.
And folk would say, but she's giving all her money away. How can she be planning for the future of this next year by giving all her money away? She's trusting God. She's planning her eternal future. She's building herself an eternal future in Christ Jesus. And for each and every one of us, as you go out and you do different things, whether it be abroad, whether it be in this country, you reach out and you touch other people's lives. And you're building your spiritual future. You're building a mansion. You're preparing for yourself a place. You're giving God the ability to do something great for you.
Amen.
You're equipping the angels in the kingdom of God to do great things in that spiritual realm. God wants to work with each and every one of us. Fear will cause you to freeze. Fear will steal your faith. Fear can deliver a blow to you that will paralyze your faith. I once fell off some steps. Steps fell over. I'd got a hedge trimmer, electric hedge trimmer in one hand. That's dangerous on its own. And the steps suddenly went the other way. And I'm now between a hedge and no steps. And unfortunately, gravity was able to beat me. And gravity brought me crashing down. And these steps were steel steps, and they were round like that pole over there, about the same sort of thickness. And I landed with the hip bone. There's no meat there for a start. Just pure bone. And all my weight landed on it, and I'm laid across these steps, cutter in one hand, and I'm just laid there, and for a few seconds the impact had paralyzed me. I could not move. My legs would not function. The compression and the blow to the bones had set an explosion up through the body. And the nerve system had basically seemed to have shut down, and I could not move. And there was somebody there with me, and I'm saying, help me up, because I could not get up. And it must have been 30 seconds, a minute or so, before my body kicked back in. The devil's like that.
Yes.
Wants to find that point where he can hit you.
Yeah.
Hit you with that fear. And paralyze you from moving in faith to bring the miracles, the signs and the wonders that God wants to be working in your life and through your life and for your life. But 2010 is going to be different. 2012 is going to be different. The word says in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33. I'll read from the Amplified. But seek, aim at, and strive after, first of all, His kingdom, His righteousness, His way of doing things and being right. That's what you have to seek after. His way of doing things and being right. And then all these things, taken together, will be given to you besides. So don't be anxious. Don't worry about tomorrow. For tomorrow has enough worries and anxieties of its own. Sufficient for each day is its own trouble. The King James says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. All the blessings of God shall be added. But the first thing that you must seek is first the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God. Seeking the face of God. When it says seek the kingdom of God, you need to seek the King of the kingdom. It's no good just finding the kingdom. You need to find the one who's in charge of the kingdom. Yeah? You need to find God. You need to be able to move into the presence of God. You need to move into the King's kingdom. You need to move into the palace.
Yes.
You need to move into the Holy of Holies. Where the glory, the Shekinah glory of God is. That's when the worries, the cares and the anxieties of the world are displayed and dispersed and sent out and destroyed in the precious mighty name of Jesus. Because you're seeking the I Am. I Am. It doesn't mean that the troubles are not there. This is where we get it wrong. We think, oh, it's just going to be fine and dandy and easy. The troubles will still be there. But your focus is to seek the kingdom of God first. To seek the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, and His kingdom. And He says, then all these other things, I will deal with these things. Because I am the I Am. You see, God, when the children of Israel were coming out of Egypt, had already planned to, and He had a land prepared for them. Would have taken them 7 days to cross over. 7 days. Instead, it took 40 years. Why? Self-seeking, rebellious, disobedient, stiff-necked, self-satisfying, self-centered, self. Have you noticed a lot of this self, self, self? God was not in this. God was not being allowed into this circumstance and this situation. These people had seen the miracles that God had done in Egypt. The plagues that God had brought, the destruction that God had brought, and the deliverance. They get to the Red Sea. And the first thing they do, they panic. There's sea on one side, there's chariots and an army on the other side. And they're saying, why have you brought us here, Moses? We're going to be killed. Yeah. See, can you hear what's coming out?
Yeah.
What have you done this to me for, Moses? I never asked you to do this for me.
No.
You are going to get me killed. There's nothing, they're not bothered about Moses or anybody else. It's all about me.
Yeah.
It's a world today. Nothing's changed. Who's the most important thing in your life? Who's the most important person in your life?
God.
Thank you. God. And I don't doubt that that's part of it, but you know, and he'll need a great strengthening along the way. But that's the right answer. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. Seek first God and his kingdom. Maybe it should have been written. Seek ye first God and his kingdom. And all these other things will be added unto you. No, I'm not using the American Standard today. So is that how the American... Right, the American Standards read, seek ye first God and his kingdom. That's a better See, that's a better translation. Seek ye first God and his kingdom, and all these things shall be added.
Yeah.
You see, as you spend time and just look at that, a few verses, you can, suddenly God can begin to expand it and say, that's not the whole picture. Mm-hmm. Seek God first and his kingdom, and everything else will be added unto you and to me. And I thank God that as we move into this year of 2012, the thing that you and I need to do is seek first God and his kingdom. And as we seek first God and his kingdom, then all these other things will be being dealt with. God will give you victory each time. God will cause you to be victorious time after time after time. And each circumstance that comes up, we need to see the Lord. We need to see the Lord. What was your verse, Graham, that you had, that Ken gave you? Because just let me have that scripture a second. I believe it's not that one. Yeah, forgetting those things that lies behind and reaching to what lies ahead, I press towards the goal for the prize of the upward calling of God in Christ Jesus. Amen. Philippians 3 verse 13 to 14. Forgetting what lies behind. Like Dharma said, you cannot change the past. But boy, you can make the future happen. When you connect with God, you can direct the future. We have to stop letting the devil torment us with the past. Yes, I made some mistakes. And I can't change it. And if you let your regrets become so big, your regrets will stop your faith moving for 2012.
Definitely.
If you focus on your failures, you're immediately focusing on yourself.
Wow.
See what it does to you? You start to crash. You start to fall apart.
Yeah.
You'll have a breakdown. You become a person that nobody wants to be around.
Yeah.
Because it's all about me, 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 and me, me, me.
Yeah. And then me.
And then when I'm done with me, I can have some more of me. And it don't matter about you, 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 you. You should be thinking about me, me. I've lived and seen that for many years. I've tried and I've sought in my time in ministry since knowing the Lord Jesus to be somebody who thinks about others. The mind of Christ is thinking of others. The mind of Christ is saying, what can I do for you? What can I do to bless you? The mind of Christ, the mind of God is, I'm presenting my son a living sacrifice. The same Christ like mind should be in each other as us, that we should present our bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God. Isaiah chapter 6. It says in the year, verse 1 of chapter 6, it says in the year that King Uzziah died. I was depressed, I was upset, and I bemoaned everything for myself. Is that what it says? We can do that, you know, when somebody dies. But no, Isaiah said, in the year that the king Uzziah died, and he was a good king, he said, I saw the Lord sitting on the throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Where's the temple? Where's the temple? It's not in Jerusalem. It's here right now. You, the Word of God says, you are the temple of God. So where's the train of God resting right now? In you. In the temple. In you. As the moment that we put our eyes and fix our eyes on God, God wants to connect with us. God wants us to touch and to have an experience of His very presence amongst us. He wants us to have that experience even in our own quiet times that God is amongst you. He's with you. That His train touches you, that His very presence will touch you. No matter what is going on, there can be a disaster. There can be great sadness. There can have been a death. But you look to God. That's what kept Joan strong. This last year. It's only God, you see, that kept her strong. If God had not intervened in that situation with her husband and brought him into a relationship with himself only briefly, Joan would be probably very sad. Disappointed. Depressed. And those thoughts would bring great pressure upon her. And the devil would use them to bind her, to bring sadness, to bring her to a place that what you have been doing all these years is been a waste of time. And that it's a no-hope situation. And that you've wasted most of your life being a Christian. And yet the hand of God moves in a mysterious way. And the hand of God had started moving a few years ago.
Yes.
We didn't know. From the very first day that I met your husband, the hand of God had started working. And he and I just hit it off. For some reason, I don't know why, but we did. It wasn't anything deep, it wasn't anything, I don't know what it was, but it just, I accepted him and he accepted me. And that was how it went. And then over the years, we met briefly at different times and chatted. Now when it came to that point that we're praying for him, he asked to see us. And I went that day with that determination. This is the day that the Lord has made. And this is his day. And he will walk into the presence of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. I went with that agenda. I went with that desire and that compassion. I knew, I was convinced within my very spirit that that day he would make his decision for the Lord Jesus Christ. And I thank God for that. And Joan has told us at times he would pick up his Bible and there were tears in his eyes. God is at work. And you know, we rejoiced in his death because in his death there's a resurrection life. In his death there's fullness of joy. And you know, the presence of God has filled his life. Hallelujah. So today, 2012, what is God calling you to be? What is God calling you to be? What is your mission for 2012? Don't look at the rest of your life. What is your mission for 2012? What is your place in the body of Jesus Christ in 2012? That's my question. What have you to do? Ken's been talking and said, everybody's preached my message today. I wrote down here, you and I need a mountaintop experience like Moses. You need a mountaintop experience. It's suddenly you get to the top of the mountain and you can see for miles. You can see the lie of the land in the future, where you're heading. You can see its glories. When God wanted to show Moses the land that he was giving to his people, he said, come up here. And he took him to the top of a high mountain and he showed him the promised land. He showed him that promised land. We need the mountaintop experiences in God. It's there where we get alone with God. As Ken says, Jesus went up the mountain and spent time with God. There's nobody else going to climb up there. Don't take this wrong when I say this. People start climbing, say, I'll climb that mountain. And they set off on that journey. And some of them are so spiritually fat they can't make it. So spiritually unfit, they're not going to make it. Some of them are so religious. Busting with religion. Even with it. Got the doctrine on the back. I'm going to climb this mountain with my doctrine and I'm going to show God my doctrine. It's not what it's about. It's climb that mountain to meet with your I am. To meet the I am who will take you through 2012. Psalm 84 and verse 6 talks about going through. Take that word, going through. Going through the valley of Baca. The valley of Baca means a valley of tears and of weeping. Most people focus on the valley of tears of weeping. But the key word in that is you are going to go through it. I'm going through it. I'm not going to live in it. I'm going to pass through it, but I'm not going to live there. In fact, if I can get on my motorbike and go through it at high speed, I will. Shed the odd tear, but get me out the other end and get me out quick. Amen. And the thing that takes us out quick is the fact that we have our eyes fixed on the I am. Amen. And his plans for us. And those plans that you have said that this year, I will serve the Lord. Question. If you keep doing what you have always been doing, are you growing? Let me repeat it again for you. If you keep doing what you've always been doing, are you going to continue to grow? Did I hear a no? That means something has to change. If you keep doing what you've been doing, are you going to grow? Thank you. I appreciate that. You're in a routine. One says you're in a rut. We have this plant in our house. It's the peace lily. And it flourishes in abundance. I've potted it up into a bigger plant. I've actually then had to remove it again and split it and make up plants and give them away and been left with three more peace lilies at home. And Grace said the other day, it's busting the sides of this pot. Peace is abounding more and more. And it just loves where it's planted. But if we keep it restricted, it will die. So we have to do some cruel things. We have to remove it from its pot. We have to tear it apart. And in the tearing apart, there are small plants. So we put those in their pots on their own. And we give them away. And as we give those seedlings away, they grow. And peace is being spread where those plants have gone. In the same way, if we stay doing the same thing that we've always done, we've become pot bound. We're not going to grow. We're restricted. We're confined. God does not want you confined. That's what they do in a mental home, they confine you. God is not here to confine you. God is to expand your borders. It says expand your tent. Lengthen your cords of your tent. Get a bigger tent. Don't tell me you don't like camping. It's a spiritual thing, all right? Lengthen your tents. Begin to spread out spiritually. Begin to look for the growth. Begin to look the vision bigger. And begin to press in. But how do you do it? Matthew chapter 6. And verse 33 says, seek ye first the kingdom and the king of the kingdom, and then all these things shall be added unto you. Yeah. Seek ye first the king of the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. Too many people are seeking the things. That's why, yes, Ken gave that picture. People are sliding down the mountains because they're hanging on to the things. They're seeking the things to take with them. When we come into the presence of the King of Kings, we have nothing to give Him. We have nothing to offer Him of this world. The only thing we have is ourselves. Our love. That's all we have. Our worship. It's all we have to offer Him. And that's why I'm trying to emphasize, seek ye first the King of the kingdom of God. Then everything else will be added. It will be added when you need it. It will be added as you require it. But seek ye first the kingdom of God. And in 2012, seek ye first the kingdom of God and the King. And all these other things shall be added unto you. Whatever your needs are, I Am will meet your very need. I Am will meet all of your needs. According to His riches in glory. Not according to the Bank of England, not according to the European economy, but according to the kingdom of God. Seek ye first the King of the kingdom of God, and all these things will and shall be added unto you. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you. May the Lord bless you and do you good this year. As you stay focused on Him, don't forget to pick up this information on Romania. And the Lord bless you. Thank you.